Perhaps if I get out and come back in? Okay, let's try that. Okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's see if we can try this. Let's try this again. Hey, Mad Mike, can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, fine. Dr. Demery. Dr. Sims?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, Dr. Demery. Okay, I have nothing from Dr. Demery. Okay, all right, let's see what we can do here. Okay, Dr. Demery? I'm gonna log you out, come back in, okay? Okay. All right, welcome to the set here. We've had some audio issues here. But anyway, welcome Dr. Sims, I hope you're feeling better.
We're getting there.
Oh boy. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Dr. Sims, you got sick again?
I have serious allergies. It's not again, it's just the same thing.
Gotcha.
And so any little dust, because I have upper bronchial asthma, and I've had it since I was a little girl. But this year, I don't know, last year and this year, I don't know if it's an air, because we've been having a lot of medical alerts in the city that I live. And at night, every other night, they're flying real low. I think they're trying to kill my complex, people that live in here.
Okay.
Because it's just really, the air quality is bad. I can go out to the mailbox, and by the time I get back, within about 5-10 minutes, my eyes are burning. It's really bad. So,
yeah, you had mentioned. Excuse me. You had mentioned that the pollen is really bad in California. Excuse me.
It is, and they're also giving us warning about the mosquitoes, the infestation of mosquitoes. And I had my daughter laugh, and I says, "We can't even go outside because they attacked our ankles." And when I try to open my window, you know, the sliding glass door and the screen there, they fly into that, and they're looking. I'm like, they are huge. But they're saying that it could be a possibility that the mosquitoes this year are carrying malaria.
Oh, geez.
I'm like, you know what? This is just, ugh.
Oh, my. You know, I tell you, and you mentioned the pollen. The pollen is, it's really awful here on the East Coast. Yeah. I can go on my patio and there's a whole film of yellow.
Yep.
Right there on my patio. So anyway, mm-hmm. Dr. Demery, can you hear us now?
Yes, sir. Can you hear you?
Oh, yes. Oh boy. Thank you so much.
Had no sound there for a minute, but everything seems to be,
everything's
copacetic now.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. We're back. I can turn on my camera. So yes, Dr. Sims, I hope you get better, because I know we spoke earlier and, last week, and, you weren't, feeling too well. So our best wishes to you. Ann will not be with us today. She's, celebrating with her husband. His birthday was Saturday, this weekend. I believe it was Saturday. I'm not sure whether it was Saturday or today. But anyway, she says she wants to give everyone her well wishes and, let everybody know that she's okay, and she'll be back with us next week. So anyway, I'm going to start off a little different today. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Boomerang Radio Show, coming to you each and every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on the East Coast, 3 p.m. hopefully on the West Coast. That's 5 Central and 4 Mountain Time. And we've been trying to get back into the subject of artificial intelligence. Artificial intelligence, AI, you hear. And since we started our broadcast talking about it, say, 5 weeks ago or so, I've heard more and more and more and more about this since we started the broadcasts on TV. We're talking about artificial intelligence in music, in work, our everyday lives. We use artificial intelligence, and it does have some really, really great merits and some great uses for it. I mentioned before, I'd be lost without my navigation system in my car because I was in California for several years, and coming back here to Virginia, everything has changed. So I need my navigation to get around here in Studio W to Buzz. StudioWBuzz.com, StudioWBuzz.com. So we're going to talk about artificial intelligence. One thing I was thinking about today, I want everybody to jump in And I want your take on this. I want to talk about several different things as far as AI is concerned. We're going to talk about some good things that it does for us. And also we're going to talk about some things that we might want to pay close attention to. And I was thinking about how does artificial intelligence, what are the psychological and physiological effects of video game addiction? Okay. And I will start off with you. I'm going to read a little bit. Okay. But then I want you to jump in, Dr. Sims. Let's go to Mike and then Dr. Demery. What are some of the physiological and psychological effects of video game addiction? Loss of relationship. Okay. Now, of course, we aren't talking about children. We're talking about adults. Now, as a grown man or grown woman, I cannot see myself. I mean, as a grown man, I can't see myself sitting on the couch all day playing a video game. I can't. I don't see that. There are other things that I need to do. It may be fun for some people, and if you are having fun with it, more power to you. But I would advise that you use it sparingly if you want to use it, because it says loss of relationship, educational effect, or career opportunities. Okay? Gaming to escape or relieve anxiety, guilt, or other negative mood states. Failure of control, continued gaming despite the psychological problems. And it goes on and on. And look at some of the more popular games that's out here. Grand Theft Auto is one that I think is, and I think that thing sold well over 100 million, and I might be off. It could be more, but at least 100 million games are sold around the country. And then I want to talk about how video games affect our mental health or youth. Dr. Sims, I want to start off with you. They speak of loss of relationship, educational loss. I don't know how that would. Well, if you aren't studying and you're just playing video games, you just might flunk out of school, flunk out of college, right? Career opportunities. You could miss out on an opportunity as far as your career is concerned. And people use it to escape anxiety, guilt, or other negative mood states. Dr. Sims.
You were talking about addictions. Too much of anything can be addictive. You know this, right?
Absolutely.
So my thing is when I've been really paying attention, I guess this week, I guess it just comes to me and I'm paying attention. And maybe sometimes I think I go a little overboard with paying attention to some of the series that they have going on television. Some of the movies that are coming out, which institutes CI in them. And I says, you know, they're really just telling us what they're doing. Now, I know for a fact that social media can be very addictive to the point where you have people that sit there all day long and do nothing but look at their iPads. Listen, I know how that is, okay? I could sit here five or 6 hours at a time looking at this thing. Okay. And don't get anything done that I need to get done. I've done it. Okay. And to the point where, sometimes because it's so addictive, you have to wean yourself away from it, because what people has done is made it such an intricate part of their life and their psyche. It's like, I can't do without it. Just like the drug, you know, gives you a high. I mean, it causes a lot of things. People don't believe it, but it does. Getting that information, looking to see who's doing what, getting introduced to people. I mean, it's just like, it's like a substitute, as far as I'm concerned, to the interaction with the one-on-one with the human. You know, to me, it's strategically done. They have separated us from the touch and feel of each other. Why not? We can sit in our house, okay? We can talk on the phone. Now, I have family members who are far away. The good part of it, I can see them on here, okay? Which I can't travel to their places, but I can see them here and dialogue with them, okay? Which is a plus for me, which is great. But as far as the addiction, anything that you have to have too much of and you can't leave it alone is an addiction, food's addiction, whatever. But this cyberspace is dangerous. Been paying attention in early hours of the morning. They even have lawyers now who are parents are filing cases because of social media addiction. I thought that was like, whoa. And this came on the television as announcement. You know how they do Medicare and they do all of these other infomercials or commercials. Well, now they got attorneys now whose parents are filing lawsuit because the children and they're so addicted to cyberspace. They're so addicted to media that they can't get anything done. It's like it's a brainwashing. And they're finding out, taking children to psychologists and therapists, that these children are being swayed to do things that they would not normally do. Okay? And so they're paying very close attention to this. And that's why I say, remember when I told you, I says, looking at the babies, I saw this baby, could have been about 4, 5, 6 months old, sitting there pushing buttons. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh my goodness. So they've given the substitute of human touch to have cyber indoctrinate our children, not just our children, but us as adults as well, because we can be sitting there all day long, like you said, miss opportunities, okay, dialogue and doors being open for you to go through your next phase of success or what have you. You miss it. Some people will sit there just like on games. They won't pay a bill. Hear me out. They won't pay a bill. Some folks have said, just like at the good scenario, crossbreed here, Las Vegas. I happen to have ventured Las Vegas a few times and living, staying in the hotel, you know, one of my visitation at the time, the same woman had, her nightgown on and her curlers and she would not get up from this particular machine. They were so addicted into their thought process that if I get up from this machine, I'm going to lose out. So she stayed there all night long. She was there when we came down the next morning, okay? Mm-hmm. And she is not the only one, to the point where people will spend up all of their money. They're on the floor. They're begging. They got to get their hustle on just to get home, most of them, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But they go right back. They go right back the next weekend. I was saying, you know, they are addicted because really they don't even suffer their losses. If they had suffered their losses, they would stay home and get some sense, right? No, they go right on back and do the same thing. Same scenario with intelligence. Now, the cyber intelligence can also make us lazy, very lazy. You have, I saw something too on an infomercial on television where they had a dog. They said these dogs are being operable in California. And these things are, they look to me, they look like they would, and I know they would shoot you dead because they have no consciousness. Okay. Now my mind goes way left and I'm like, okay, so what if they shoot the wrong person, just go up there, shoot and have a malfunction? What you going to do? Okay. So these are the things that is troubling my mind because we have malfunction with humans. Right? I'm just saying. People talking about, oops, just like they arrested a man, his quarters, they were saying somebody broke in to this place and the thieves are in there. He was the owner and he was only dressed, you know, because some people sleep nude. It is what it is, okay? And so he only had a shirt on. If he had not raised his hands and said, I live here, I don't have a gun, okay? They can clearly see that he was not fully dressed. But what did they do? They didn't even make him, they didn't allow him even put on clothes or anything like this. They walked him out. That was such an embarrassment.
Wow.
What they did was they sat him in the car, and guess what? You had a dispatcher and said, oops, you're at the wrong place.
Wow.
Okay? See, this is what I'm saying. We have human error. And with these cyber, mechanisms, like you said one time, Mark, the intent, the programming, what is the ramifications of behind some of their programming? Is their intent to do harm? Then say, oops, I didn't know I programmed that. They're a liar as far as I'm concerned. They know what they're doing because we have a lot of prejudice here. Okay. And if you have humans who are, use this word, indoctrinating, these mechanisms, then guess what? They're putting their feelings in there. I don't care what codes they put in. Okay. They find out, away, but they make it look so down low. I'll use that, down low, like, oh my goodness, I didn't know what I'm doing. And then I'm kind of scared that these intelligent things will get their own mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Their own mind and do their own thing. I saw a commercial on social media, and it was kind of comical, but then it wasn't. They were working the warehouses, and they were taking boxes. These computers were taking boxes, and because one box didn't come in time for the flow to be consistent, the computer got mad. Literally showed that, where the computer got mad because there was two computers on the conveyor belt, and when the other one didn't come fast enough, that computer threw the box. And it had a gentleman who was plugging in numbers, but they threw it and knocked him out with the box. I said, oh Lord, is this what we're facing? So we cannot, listen folks, we cannot get so addicted to these cyber materials or protege, should I say, that they're replacing us with. Because listen, I'm afraid that, and you, I think you said it too, Mike, we're being replaced, whether people will like it or not. We're being replaced. So my thing is, what would be my function if a computer can sit there and counsel somebody better than me? Okay, I'm just saying, hello.
Mike, wow. Hey, you just, that's a mouthful, Dr. Sims. I want to tell you right there. You're exactly right about, a lot of those things and some very important points that you made. And that is, speaking of the real replacement theory, the real replacement, we don't have to worry about another human replacing us. There's always been competition out here. Always been competition. And to me, the best man or woman should win. That's the way, it should work in a perfect world, but we know the world is not perfect. We understand that.
Right.
Now,
right.
What will happen, Mike, and you mentioned it also about AI will create more jobs, many more jobs than they're available now. However, you will not get those jobs if you do not have the skills in order to operate those or function in that capacity. And I want you, whatever you take it from anywhere you want, from what I said, what Dr. Sim said, and also your own research. Mike?
Well, let me back up just a little bit. Dr. Sims was talking about attorneys that were being brought into lawsuits because of AI affecting the children. I would start, now, all of us are older here on this panel, and I would start with our parents. Do you think our parents would have allowed that to occur?
No.
I would start with parents. Mm-hmm. If take the whatever the computer or the tablet or whatever it is, take it away from them or limit their time on it. Don't allow this to happen in your home. It's like we kind of had a rule at my house. It's like everybody, you know, dinner starts at this time and everybody sits down at the dinner table together. You have structure and structure. And I'm sure Dr. Sims can back me up on this. When children have structure, they do better because they know the hard boundaries. So they don't push it. So they're in their comfort zone. They know that they can't walk into the street, right? I think William learned that one.
The hard way.
Walk in the street when grandma says no. So I would start with the parents. The parents have no right to be going to attorneys and trying to get money and sue on behalf of their children that now have psychological problems and damage from the release of endorphins in their brain when they win a game or when they get something. I dated a gal a couple of years ago, started dating her, and we went somewhere, and when we finished going somewhere, we got back in the car, she pulls out her phone and she starts playing this Candy Crush. I'm on a date with
on a
her,
date
and I'm never short on words. So I can always talk about stuff, right? I got the verbal diarrhea going on. So it's not like I was being quiet and we couldn't have a conversation. The whole purpose behind the date or starting to date was to learn about each other and enjoy each other's company. And she's on her phone playing Candy Crush. I'll bet you guys can figure out how that ended.
It didn't last long.
Didn't last long at all.
Right, right.
And then as far as artificial intelligence, if artificial intelligence takes over the dangerous and nasty jobs that humans would rather not do, then it's a good thing. But when it starts interfering at a higher level, then I think it's going to be damaging to humanity.
You know, Mike, let's stick with you. Then I'm going to go to Dr. Demery because I want to also get his take on this as well and how this really affects our children. You're right, Mike. When it starts affecting our ability to have a livelihood, to make a decent living, okay, be able to feed your families, then that's an issue. The problem that I have out here and the fear is unless we get the right people in making the right decisions is that you're going to have some politicians that's going to vote in favor of that because they are in favor of big tech, big corp, big pharma, anything big that's going to pad their pockets.
That part.
And we have a lot.
Yep. Follow the money.
Follow, Mike, you said it, brother. No, think about this. You have corporations who, what they're trying to do, they want to produce as just enough to make the money. Okay. Now, also have, if you go into a store here recently where they have cut back on the volume of or quantity of, let's say cereal, for instance, or some goods that you might want to buy, they have lowered the quantity and increase the price. So they're going to do anything they can to nickel and dime you. Look at the cost of prescription drugs. They are through the roof. There's no way in the world a drug is supposed to cost anyone $500, $600, $700, $800. I had a, my doctor prescribed something for me. It was a mild something, for make sure that, I was getting congested a lot. So my doctor prescribed something. It wasn't major. She says, well, you know, there's nothing to worry about. But I'm going to prescribe this for you. And I said, well, make sure you get the generic. Called the pharmacy, and they wanted $235 for this one prescription. And I don't think there are more than 30 pills in there. $235. So I called the doctor back, and I said, send my prescription to Costco. That same drug was something like $14, $15. I said,
yeah,
wait
a minute. You didn't even have that card though, that even though it runs that high, you can scan that card. It costs you like $6 and some odd cents.
Well,
I know that for a fact.
Well, see, this is the deal. Like I said, I said, this particular pharmacy was getting ready to rip me off. Okay. Now, I will pay $14 versus $235 any day of the week.
Of course.
Okay. So that's what it costs. That's what it costs. I had no issue with that. But I'm saying it hurt my feelings. $235. I was hurt behind that. So again, let's get back to, on the subject here because you have, and now you have also, they are so enamored or want to please the stockholders. I understand stockholders need to be paid. If you buy, if you're investing in something, you're supposed to get paid. But you also don't need to rob your clientele in order to make that happen. You don't need to cheat them.
They've been doing it, William. This ain't nothing. They've been robbing them.
I understand that, but it's getting worse. This is my point. And what was this thing? It was called the EpiPen. Remember the EpiPen that some people need that for? And what is that used for?
Anaphylactic shock.
Okay.
Like if you eat shellfish or something or peanuts.
Right.
And your throat starts closing up, it's called anaphylactic shock, and it brings you out of that.
Right.
It's a stimulant, actually.
And that, and now, also, it was, I believe it was Joe Manchin, the Democrat from West Virginia, his daughter, was a major player in this particular company that manufactured that. And I think that if my memory serves me correctly, I'm not reading anything right now, that she made a deal with Pfizer because Pfizer was going to come out with their version of it. And they went into cahoots with one another that they wouldn't do that to cause the competition. And they were cutting Pfizer in on the profits that this particular company was getting. They made a deal among one another to keep this pen high. It got up to $600. $600. Now, it doesn't cost that much to manufacture that. As a matter of fact, when you mass produce something like that, you can get it pennies on a dollar. You can do that if they wanted to, but it's all about profits. And the question is also, why are they robbing their own people here in the United States when you can go to Canada and get probably those same drugs cheaper or somewhere else and get the drugs cheaper?
That's why people go to Mexico
and get the drugs cheaper. So, women, hold it. You mean to tell me they can ship this stuff to Canada? They can ship it to Mexico and anywhere else, and cheaper, but they're going to rob us in the United States? That makes absolutely no sense at all. And I think that our Congress and our Senate, they can play a role in reducing the cost of these drugs, you see? But again, let's get back on subject here. I want to go to Dr. Demery. While competitive and violent, video games have been shown to encourage aggressive behavior. I want you to put a line under that. To encourage aggressive behavior. Now, I certainly recall these young people that's going out and shooting up places, mass shootings and stuff like that. I would say that's pretty aggressive. Wouldn't you say that? Okay. And children and adolescents. If you're growing up, it's just like when you grow up into any type of, I would say, situation, you're going to adapt to your environment. And if you're growing up with violence is okay. If I'm watching something all day long and I'm shooting up people and I'm seeing blood splatter, and we'll come back to you, Dr. Sim. I can be, desensitized, can I? If that's the right word. Okay. I can become numb to it. Killing wouldn't mean as much to me. As it would to us when we were growing up. Okay? Mm-hmm. These children are watching things and they really don't realize that fire does burn until they put their hands on a hot stove. You understand? So what I'm saying is, they said, okay, I see blood all the time. I see people getting killed all the time. I see people getting robbed all the time. I see people shooting up people all the time. These video games right here. So Dr. Demery, I want your take on that.
Well, I want to make sure, Mike, did you finish your point? I think you had one or two points you were covering. I don't want to cut your thought process.
No, I'm good. I'm ready.
Yeah, we'll come back around.
Well, the thing that I pride myself on, I think I'm the only one on the panel here that has to preach every Sunday. And with that in mind, I have to do exegesis. I have to develop a hermeneutic for my topic on the sermon. And I know those are theological terms some of you may or may not have heard of, but when you're doing exegesis and when you develop a hermeneutic for your topic on your sermon.
What is that, Dr. Demery? What is that?
What's that?
Hermeneutics.
Well, like, for example, this Sunday I preached on John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, which talks about the good shepherd. So I have to develop a hermeneutic, which is a truth within the text. That is not necessarily quoting the text. And exegesis behind that text is when you draw the truth out of what the text is saying. So one of the things I pride myself on is that I don't have to use AI. I don't have to be involved with it, because when you're doing exegesis in this one Bible program that I use called Logos, it's one of the top programs. It has your Greek and your Hebrew and all that in there. And I'm one of the few people that went to a seminary where you had to take Hebrew and Greek. Now people go to seminary and they even had to take Hebrew or Greek now, which to me is a travesty. It's a big misnomer. But you need to have a biblical language. That's like a doctor that doesn't know how to administer drugs. I mean, every doctor has to take pharmacology. And I think every student of the Bible should have to take at least one biblical language. I had to take a year of Greek and a year of Hebrew. My Greek is better than my Hebrew, but that's a whole nother story. But the point being is that when you're doing sermon preparation and when you're looking at a particular word, like for example, in John chapter 10, I was looking at the word that Jesus talked about when he said save, Well, the Greek word seitheteros means save. And when you develop in a exegesis of that word, which you're trying to get people to see the truth behind it, you're not using no artificial intelligence. There's no program that allows you to be able to draw the truth of what that word is saying. There's no truth that draws you to understanding what the word shepherd means and being a good shepherd, because although Jesus set the model for being a good shepherd, we all have to be good shepherds. William, you have to be a good shepherd. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sims, you have to be a good shepherd. Mike, you have to be a good shepherd in terms of how you run your household, for example, or raise your kids, or give your kids advice, even in retirement. I'm retired. Mike's retired. I don't know about Dr. Sims if she's retired or not. But, you know, when you're doing that, you're developing a process of mind thought, and you're working the process out yourself as opposed to allowing a program to allow the process of thinking through what the and obviously, you know, the process here is the denouement. And the denouement means you have to allow the spirit to allow you access to what God is going to have you give a suitable verbal offering for that Sunday. And particular Sunday, that was the text that I was using, and I was talking about the good shepherd, and Jesus gave us an example. So to make a long story short, William, and to the panel, when you're doing biblical studies, at least for right now, and I don't foresee it happening anytime in the future, when you're doing word study or form criticism or redaction criticism, you're not having to use artificial. Matter of fact, you can't use artificial intelligence when you're trying to develop a process to get people to see what these words are saying and what the words are doing and how they can benefit in people's lives. So I pride myself in not using artificial intelligence, and I know that it's out there, like Mike and Dr. Sims and yourself, William, had commented on what artificial intelligence is. I don't use it. I mean, matter of fact, I very rarely use it in anything. I think the only thing I probably use it in is when I have to dump stuff into the cloud. And if you have an Apple computer, you use iCloud. And I think even in some of the PCs, you use in the cloud where you dump stuff onto your memory. So in case something happens to your computer, if it's stolen or you get a serious virus, you can pull all your information back off of the cloud. That's not artificial intelligence. That's a memory storage process, which is completely different than artificial intelligence. Because artificial intelligence, basically, let's just break it down to what it really is. It's a process whereby it thinks for you, and you don't have to do any thinking. And like you said, William, earlier, that's very dangerous, because Mike somewhat commented on this, that our kids are developing a propensity for not thinking. For not talking to another human being, for not sitting down and saying, okay, well, you don't like me. Let's talk about why you don't like me. You don't like the color of my hair. You don't like my mustache. Whatever. Let's talk it out. Let's reason amongst one another and see how we can come together to find the things that we have in common, the things that we like about each other. So that's my take on it, William.
I appreciate that. No, thank you so much. Dr. Sims. You and Mike and Dr. Demeridge just touched on a bunch of things here. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to make a comment, and then I want to go to you, Dr. Sims. One of the biggest negative effects of video games can lead you to struggle with regulating your emotions properly. Like Mike had mentioned, he went on a date with this lady. I know it didn't. It probably lasted only that night. Knowing Mike. It was probably over then. You pulled out Candy, woman, hold it. We were on a date and you pulled out this Candy Crush game. No. Okay. You can do that at home. All right. You're regulating your emotions. Something else you said earlier, Mike, too. Growing up, the four of us, the dinner was at 6 o'clock or 6:30 or 7 o'clock, whatever the time their mom set for dinner. You be there and you're going to be there on time. It was also a time of bonding, you know, with everyone, your siblings, your parents. and also a time for teaching. All right. How did school go? What did you guys do in school? What did you learn? Okay. What's going on here? And they would ask questions. They go around and we have discussions at the table. We learned that way. We didn't have a computer to tell us what, how to think. Like you mentioned, Dr. Demery, can you imagine, Dr. Sims, that the computer now is telling you how to think? So what's going to happen if you do not exercise that muscle up in your skull? If you not exercise a muscle, what happens? It gets weaker, doesn't it? And if you allow something, if you are not thinking for yourself, you allow somebody else to think or a computer to think for you, then that's a slippery slope right there. Where's the education? Okay. And we had to learn. We didn't have calculators in our math class. Okay. We didn't have computers in our English class. We didn't have computers in our history class. You had to read that book. You had to study, and then you had to give it back in the form of a test. Okay, this type of thing. However, now, if the computer is doing all of it for you, then what's going to happen? Like I said, I mentioned the word slippery slope, and I want you to take over, Dr. Sims.
Ooh, wow, this is heavy. I was listening to Dr. Demery, and he's so right on the delivery of his messages and what he has to go through. Dr. Demery, my thing was Hebrew. I love Hebrew. Greek I couldn't kind of get with, but anyway, Hebrew was not good. But there's different definitions even in the Hebrew language. And so that's no here or there. But the reality of the study process to me, the challenging of the study, which we don't have a lot of even those that are in college because they are dependent on, they ask at, I can go in there and ask now, Alexa, what does this mean? Okay. Without me opening up a book. And give me the definition. Now, I would ask Alexa to quote John 3:16. She will quote it. I would ask her what it means. She couldn't tell me, though.
That's right.
Okay? She couldn't tell me. I would have to do the research, and like the exegesis and doing the hermeneutics and all that. And I teach apologetics now. And within teaching that, it helps the student to be creative in their study process. In other words, they have to dig a little bit deeper. They have to probe into books. They have to read. My best way of learning is reading, okay, and looking at the book, and so that with the Word of God, so that the I tell people, I said, when I get really so engrossed in the words, it's almost like it opens up to me like a storybook, okay? I can actually see what is written, and this is a good writer. When I'm reading a book now, and I had to tell this young lady, I said, excellent writer. When I can see your writing like it's a film, no cyber, nothing could tell me that. I mean, they can read to me and they could tell me what they think it is. That's because it's been programmed by someone who has put in their theory and their thought process of that material. But do they really understand what the writer is trying to say? No. Half times they don't. It's only what was been injected at the knowledge level of knowledge, the individual, because there's various interpretations at what people are writing. So you have to be really, really very, very careful with that, because people can slip you something, you off on la la land somewhere, and that is not the meaning at all. Okay. The mind has been manipulated, if I can use that terminology. But getting back to what you were saying, William, you said so much, and Candy Crush, real. I play Candy Crush, okay? I'm just saying. But I'm not on no date, okay? I'm just saying, all right? Candy Crush to me is, it's a mind challenge. And for an individual to pull out Candy Crush, so evidently she tell you wasn't challenging enough, okay? That's what I'm getting, all right? And no pun against you, Mike, but she was more engulfed in that, because in the back of her mind, and I'm telling you, I could test to this too. I had formed an addiction. I love climbing numbers, and I told you that I love numbers. Okay. And the more challenging it was, the more I was into it, and I had to win. I had to go. And when I didn't win that level, it was on my mind. Okay. What did I do wrong? What do I need to do next? And so guess what? I had to break away from, because it became an addiction, and I love challenges. That's the whole key. But then too, all things are lawful, but not expedient. That's the word of God. You have to put things in its proper place. there's some things, well, that wasn't expedient. That was not the time to use that cyber instrument, that media, during a time where she should have been trying to find out who you are and you're trying to find out her. And that's why I said this media has broken the dialogue as far as the humanistic side. We can understand better each other than a machine. I'm just going to say it, and I don't care if they don't like it, because the more I talk to you, the better understanding I get about you, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's not, a lot of time people are assuming stuff. You know what that means, making an ass out of you and me, and I'm just going to say it on media, y'all forgive me. But it is real. You're just making yourself stupid because you don't really know me unless you sit down and talk to me.
That's right.
Spend some time with me. Know who I am. Like I tell people, I don't look like what I've been through, okay? And so when I tell my story, they're like, wow, you know, you went through the, because we look at people as the book of the cover, and we don't look at the content. We don't look what's in, mm-hmm. but we allow a machine to tell them, just like somebody will get my zodiac sign and form the total opinion of me. Okay. It has its merits, but that's not the full me. Because the lifestyle, the way I was brought up, tells a different picture. But you have to sit with me and not listen to a machine. Mm-hmm. This machine has no feelings of me. I can tell my story better than anybody, one-on-one. And this, and William, you were, Mike, you said something about the parents should not allow this. And we were governed. Now, in my day, we didn't have these little things here, okay? We couldn't afford it anyway if we did, okay? Because there was 12 of us at home, and transistor radio was $2, I think, and that lasted a day when Daddy gave it to us for Christmas.
8 hours.
And an orange, and you know, you ate that up in a moment. But my thing is this, we had family interaction. My dad used to love dance with my father. You know, this is what we did. And then to when we needed to talk about something, we talked it out instead of having a machine talk it out for you. Because like I said, there's been some bad instructions that's been given with cyber information. It is mm-hmm. what it is. Okay. Uh-huh. But what happened is we have become so reliant on it mm-hmm. because quick answer is something we don't have to have the effort of going in and just, you know, looking for us, that we become so lazy. Now, when it comes to parent control, let me get back to this. Parent control, I blame the government for a lot of this foolishness. I'm gonna tell you why. It's because they have taken a lot of the authority away from parents. The schools now mm-hmm. are telling children their gender. They're telling that now, because this was happening from long years ago. I saw when it started secretly taking and keep snatching away and snatching away. When we had children that got their behinds beat at home, they had some act right in school. Okay. They didn't go to school acting stupid.
I can attest to that.
I know you can, but anyway, you probably sat in the front seat. Anyway, hello. Okay, so now, the thing is this, the child could say, like my child, I would sit and I would pay attention to their verbiage. That's another thing. The parents were more keen on the child's verbiage and behavior. And when you saw that something was not quite to your liking and to your teaching, you were able to go to the child and ask them, why did they do this? Now, my children's father, my husband's at times, man, he would make me so nervous. He would talk to them for about an hour. That cyber couldn't talk to them for about an hour and disclose to them the reason why they're getting chastised. He made them understand and have a clear understanding. He would give them a spank and then ask them to repeat what he said. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
And this really made me nervous. And if they couldn't repeat it, he'd repeat it again. Okay. He'd give them two more little pops and then ask them to repeat it. You bet your bottom dollar, they didn't get many whippings. They did not, because they knew Daddy was the disciplinary. Of course, I did my thing too, but he was the main disciplinary in my home. However, I blame what is going on in society, to the point where they've gotten lazy. To me, the love for the child, and I'm not saying everybody, has been taken out. The responsibility has been taken out because cyber has stepped in now and become the responsible parent. okay, as, and I'm going to say it, because they are babysitting our children, okay? And they have taken our places. And if we do try to toot our horn, you have them charlatans up there. See, this is what gets me mad. You can't tell them what you feel, because now they're taking it personal. They want to kick you up under the jail. You might as well put them before a firing squad, and I think it's going to get to that. The little dogs are going to do it, okay? The cyber dogs. That's the point where it's getting to. I know my mind's going way out there, but see, I'm a visionary. I'm a visionary, and I'm also a realist. If people would sit down and really pay attention to the control that's being taken away, the humanizing part of us that's being snatched away. William, you said something. I believe that by the time the centuries are coming in, the years are coming in, we're going to be walking around like zombies, because you know what? We're not going to have nobody to talk to, okay, besides these machines. And they're getting more defined to the point where you have to put your eye in there. It's getting like the CIA, okay? Put your hand in there to get your money out. All kinds of serious stuff. And I mean, we joke about it, folks, and it may sound unrealistic, but it is real. If you don't sit down and pay attention to the signs of the times and what is going on, it's going to shoot past you before you know it. You stuck trying to open up a can of beans and can't even, don't have an opener, okay? Unless you talk to it. I'm just saying, I know that's probably far-fetched, but that's, folks, that's what it's getting to, because we're being sold down the river as the human. Now, there's one more thing, William, that I wrote down when you were saying, yes, I'm retired. But I'm still working. Does that make sense? I'm retired. I retired from a big corporation. And I used to work for the banking industry, and I also various genres in my life that I worked for, but I've had the privilege of seeing the switch over in each of these areas. When I worked for Bank of America for 12 years, they had the switchboard where you had to take the switch out and plug it in, you know, the old fashioned way in these old movies that you saw where they make the, and I used to work that when I first got hired there and moved on up. But when you pulled out the little switch thing, and you, they said, well, I wanted to speak to the manager. Then you pulled the switch thing out and you plugged it into the manager. That was the old time way. Well, then guess what? The new phone system came in, and naturally everybody, you had an automator, not really an automator of voice, but you had it where if they called in, you could say, one moment, please. And then you could push a button. Okay. And switch them over. So guess what? That made it very convenient for the person who works the switchboard. Okay. To the point where it got boring to me, because I like pushing them little things, you know, pulling them out and pushing them in. That was kind of like a game, you know? But my thing is, we now have been made so lazy to the point where we got automators that will cook your dinner. I like cooking my own dinner, I'm just saying. You just put it in a pot and let it do its thing, okay? My thing is, we have become, and to the point where we're going to be so isolated, because the computer's going to tell us what your name is. Okay, I know. I'm just going all country. But anyway, what is your purpose? Okay? And I've seen something like this. What is your purpose? You don't have a person? Annihilate. Okay? You don't have a cause. You don't have a purpose, because that's been taken away from you. Folks, we got to be careful about not being lazy and believing your thing. Dr. Demery, I asked Siri, and she tried to preach a message to me. I told her to be quiet, because she don't know what she's talking about, okay? And the reason why she didn't know what she was talking about, because she was programmed that way. When you study for yourself, okay, and you go in the books and you learn what you learn, then ask God to give you the rest, no computer can tell you what the Word of God is actually telling you, and study is necessary. I like using my fingers when counting, because I used to do that as a young child. Okay, the computer, I very seldom even get a computer, all right? I like using my mind and my hands, and it's like, wow, that's what we did. Now, the typewriters now that we have, them old-time typewriters, William. Now, man, I can speak into my computer and dictate to it, and it'll write down everything I say, right? That's a convenience, which I do love. That's the dictative part of it, but I still have to go back and correct some things, because it puts in words that sometimes they think I want to say.
That's right.
Okay. And so you got to be careful with that. And so that is being programmed by humans. And Mike, you said it. You got to be careful. What is their actual agenda?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And their bias.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. Mike, I want to go back to something that you said, and we're talking about something as like dating. All of us have dated before, and I think it's wonderful to date if that's what you're doing, and that is exactly fine.
Don't date me on media. Are you?
No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. I really don't blame that at all. And Mike, going back to this young lady that pulled out Candy Crush, I think it had more to do with her than it had to do with you at all, because I know that you have no problems holding the conversation. I know that for a fact. And you and I, we talk for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes, sometimes even an hour. We've talked longer than that, because what I find, the things that we talk about, they're interesting things. I remember going, Dr. Demery, I don't know what you know about this, and Dr. Sims, you don't. I had a chance when Mike was, an investigator at the Sheriff's Department. I had a chance to go down to the ballistics lab. And it was fascinating. It was absolutely fascinating to see what was going on. And Mike was also involved, and I think to a certain degree he's still involved with, when he wrote that program, Refuse to Be a Victim, there is a program which is called, help me out, Mike, and you guys have
the Gift of Love for Battered
the
Women
Gift of
Children.
Love program, yeah. Where it helps battered women and children, wow. And find resources for them and protection for them and things of that nature. So there's so much that's going on with this guy. Also, he loves music. And the only thing that I see that Mike can't do is dance. Mike can't dance.
Admittedly, I can't dance, I can't sing, I can't jump, I can't whistle.
But there's a whole lot to you. Let me just share this with you. I had a secretary once, and anyone who's ever worked for me knows that I'm probably one of the coolest bosses that they'll ever find. Because as long as you get your work done, you can do whatever you want to do. I don't care. As long as you take care of my business, processing my applications, taking care of my letters, correspondence, whatever it is, you do whatever you want. And my secretary came in the office one day, and she had her phone in her hand, and I'm talking to her, and she's playing Candy Crush. I said, women, I said, you mind putting that down? She said, does that bother you? I said, absolutely. I said, you know how I am. You can do whatever you want to do. Even while you're working, you still get paid, as long as you take care of what I needed taken care of. While I'm speaking to you, I need you to understand exactly what I want and what I need. And I never had that problem again. But so these things have become an addiction. I guarantee she pulled out the phone. Not that it had nothing to do with you. She was addicted to this girl, to this game on some level that she couldn't put it down. And I think it was Doc, who was it that mentioned? Addiction at any, on any level is bad. When you have to have, you can't do without it. Just like the lady at the casino. She's down there with rollers and a nightgown. Are you serious right now? You're there all night long doing this. I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to toss it over to you, Mike. I had an agent, one of my agents. He called me up one day and said, well, Mr. Brown, I can't come to work today. I said, you can't come to work. What's going on? He said, I'm in Las Vegas and they will not let me leave. Are you guys listening to me right now?
I got you.
And I said, what you mean? He said, they will not let, he didn't say the cops was holding him. He said, they will not let, he had ran up a gambling debt of $30,000. And he couldn't get out of there. Now, Mike, maybe you know more about this than I do, brother. Who was it that wouldn't let him leave? It wasn't the police, okay? He could not leave until he secured that debt, $30,000. I was sick for him. 30 grand? You going to blow? Now, he was an avid gambler, and sometimes he'd win big, but sometimes he would lose big. I'm talking, and he said, yeah, I go to Vegas all the time. This is for this story, right? And he said, oh man, they comp my rooms. They comp my food. I said, I guess what the kind of money that you drop in there, $30,000. And he couldn't show up until 2 days later after he had, I don't know what he did to secure that debt, but he said they would not let him be. It's an addiction, folks. These video games are an addiction. One study found direct relationship between video game addiction and psychological factors such as depression, stress, and anxiety. Mike, and then Dr. Demery. Mike?
So which part of the question do you want me to address?
The addiction part of it, and also the psychological factors as far as depression, stress, and anxiety. Now, you think that these people playing these games right here, they're having fun. But it says, I'm going to read this again. One study found direct relationship between video game addiction. Now, I think that's a key word right there. Okay. And psychological factors such as depression, stress, and anxiety. Let's start there.
Sure. Well, the addiction thing is easy to explain because of when something pleasurable occurs, your brain releases the endorphins and such, the feel-good dopamine and things like that in your brain. And that creates, with time, it creates a vicious cycle. It starts to domino. So the more rewards you get, whatever the reward may be, whether you win at playing poker or at the roulette table or craps table or whatever, or whether you get some pleasurable experience from something else like alcohol or drugs or even with relationships, cause the dopamine release and such, the feel good. So the more that occurs, the more it fortifies itself and creates that vicious cycle that I'm talking about. And we've talked about the feel good drugs and stuff that the brain releases. We've talked about that many, many times. So as long as that's going on and people, they're unaware of it, they're complacent about it. And remember, we've talked before about complacency kills. So we as human beings, we need good mentors, good parents, to watch out for these factors, watch out for depression, especially with our teens. I mean, I think one of the top two things that kills our teens is suicide.
Yes.
Because of depression, because of social media puts all kinds of pressure on these kids. And all the bullying that occurs out in cyberspace, with all these chat rooms and stuff, and people can sit in the comfort of their home and they can pick you apart and make you feel, tiny. So as long as that's allowed to occur unrestrained, then it's going to just continue to be that vicious cycle.
Absolutely.
So, Dr. Demery?
Well, I'll give you guys an example right now of what is happening. What is the number one movie that is leading the box office right now? It's earned over $1 billion. It's a movie about a video game.
Super Mario Brothers.
Yep. And it is a top leader in the box office. Now, for a reason. Because it's a video game. That's basically all it is. I have no desire to go to a movie to watch a movie about a video game. To me, that is the most ridiculous thing in the world. Now, if you have a new James Bond movie or something like that, I'm going to go see it. But, or the new Star Wars or something. But, who in the world wants to go to a movie and pay money to watch a movie about a video game? To me, that's nonsense. And my old saying, William, if I can quote it now, I don't know if Dr. Sims or Mike, you've heard my little saying, but it's applicable to a lot of things in life. And maybe more so in your case, Mike, because you just came off of a date. Romance without finance. Can't stand a chance. And before long, it becomes a nuisance.
That part. Now, I'm not trying to. Yeah, look. But anyway, and you're so absolutely right. I looked up something and I was looking up for addiction. It is, it has a physical ramifications when you're addicted to something. One of the things I used to be a coordinator of is in-home drug treatment program. And I was just thinking about this last night and how the mind can be manipulated, okay? It can be manipulated through human verbiage, and it's really manipulated.